Usually it's, the next paper will be presented by... So I saw that there was a little bit of abuse of privilege that took place today. Deirdre, as the program chair, she's supposed to go up and introduce the sessions, but she used the opportunity to stump herself a little bit, and now I have the mic. The only problem is I haven't figured out what we're running for yet, so I don't really know how to do this. So seriously, I am really deeply honored and humbled to receive this award. I still haven't gotten over the surprise that I had when I heard about it. And when I look at my co-awardees and previous recipients of this award, it's hard for me to even imagine that I belong here. And I'm not going to try to convince you that I don't, but it really is a surprise to me. And I'm just humbled and honored and very grateful. There are several people that I feel I must thank, and that they're the only reason that I'm here today. And I want to start with Lori Craner. Lori and I worked together at AT&T for about 6 years, I think, and our offices were right next door to each other. And one day she came in and said that she did her PhD research on a voting system and security issues with it. And she said that our group at AT&T was a security group, should work with the Costa Rican government because they wanted to take the computers they had in their schools and use them for electronic voting. And our group got really absorbed by this. It was very interesting, about 8 of us, and we had all these meetings, we sat around, and then it came time to go to Costa Rica. And that's where I played my I Speak Spanish card. And Lori and I, along with some lawyers from Villanova, went down to Costa Rica, worked with the election tribunal there. And this was in 1997. And as a security researcher, I felt when we came back and that project was over that I had really found an interesting topic. You know, it's got anonymity, privacy, security, so very, very interesting. And I started working and looking on it and participating in government studies. I met a lot of people like David Jefferson and just a whole lot of people whose names come up all the time doing these studies. The next people that I want to thank, and these are in absolutely no particular order, are my co-authors on the Diebold study. My students, Adam Stubblefield and Yoshi Kono, really did the heavy lifting. I mean, my role here was to call them into my office, and I said, I've got a drop everything project for you. And you know, they wanted to hear about it, and they went away. I don't know, one of them went down the hall or something. We got together an hour later, and I said, okay, so let me tell you. And Adam said, I've already downloaded the code. So they basically poured through. They stopped sleeping, and I mean it. Every day they looked a little more tired than the day before. 45,000 lines of code, they were going through it, and the way it worked is they would come into my office and they would say, okay, look what we found, and really they did it. And I also want to thank Dan Wallach, who he did a tremendous job helping us with that project, and he's done a lot of activism nationally and in Texas, and we're really grateful to him. I want to thank another project I was involved with was the CERB report, and I want to thank my co-authors on that and co-committee members David Jefferson, Barbara Simons, and David Wagner. I want to give a special thanks to David Jefferson. Besides helping with the CERB project, which by the way was, I think, just a phenomenal success. You know, they called us in, and unlike a lot of other people that asked our opinion about something, it seemed like they really wanted to hear it. And when we wrote a report, you know, pointing out all the security problems and the threats, the project was canceled. So, you know, I think that's just a phenomenal thing. And I'm really surprised by that. But David Jefferson has really been somewhat of a mentor to me. I remember times when things got really tight and really personal, and I was having a very tough time. One particular night, I was somewhere in a hotel, and things were going very badly for me. And I called up David, and you probably remember this. We had a long, long talk for what must have been over an hour, and he made me feel a lot better and put things in perspective. And then we talked again and followed it up. And you know, I don't know that I could have made it through that without David. So thank you very much. I also want to thank Cindy Cohn, especially. I don't think that we would have done what we did without Cindy, because to have Cindy behind you, backing you up, knowing that you've got the legal support of Cindy Cohn and how impressive she is, it made us feel like we didn't have to be scared. And she did her legwork. She called up the ISP that was hosting the code and asked them, has Diebold asked you to take this down? And they said no. And there were all these things that she said to me that convinced me that, you know, and she had a good way of not telling us there was no risk, but explaining what the risk was. And so thank you very much, Cindy. You give so much to our community, and I really appreciate it. So what the challenge that we face right now is to be the voice of reason in what seems like a crazy thing. We've got greedy vendors, state officials who are embarrassed and seem to be in bed with these vendors. Their tactics are dirty and they don't play fair. And I just want to give you one example of the kind of thing that we're up against. The election officials in Maryland were going on record constantly as saying that I might understand security, but I don't know anything about elections. You know, it's some kind of rocket science that's beyond computer scientists that cannot understand the mechanics of an election. So in order to try to, you know, have some hope of grasping these complexities, I signed up as an election judge and I worked the election in the primary. And I wrote my thoughts down that night when I got home. I was very tired, but I just wrote how it went. I put it up on the web, and it got slashdotted. It got a lot of coverage. After working on the polls in what seemed to be the all-star team of election judges in my particular precinct that Bob Yurosevich stopped in a few times, by chance. I guess he stopped by all the precincts in Maryland. It occurred to me that, you know, we had 9 election judges, 5 voting machines. They were the Diebold TSX. And We monitored each person. They came in, we watched them vote, they gave us a card. You know, if they had a stack of cards, or if they stood there too long, and the machine made a big click when the card came out, and by then, one of us was already walking up to them to say thank you and give them a sticker, that we would have noticed that was not a feasible attack. At the same time, I saw all kinds of things that I won't go into now, but that I wrote up that I thought were worse than we thought it was. So I said, you know, what this did is it focused me. I now understood real threats better, and I was willing to concede that something that we thought was a problem maybe wasn't. Then, fast forward to recent times, there was a hearing in Ohio about this very issue, and I was asked to testify, and I couldn't make it, and Dan Wallach was able to go. And I started hearing from Dan and from several other people, including a state senator staffer, that Mark Radke, the marketing director of Diebold, had said, as part of his argument, you know, even Professor Rubin has changed his mind on this stuff, and he's written that he has changed his mind. You know, and this started getting back to me. I'm thinking, what kind of twisted, you know, if you, it is taking something out of context and giving exactly the opposite conclusion of what I had meant to give and what I'd given if you read the whole thing. And I did write something up to that effect and I submitted it as written testimony, but there's a lot of damage done because these guys are not playing by the rules. I think we had amazing news today. I mean, I feel like the last 2 days have been a real, real turning point. And for me, it's just great that happened today on receiving this award. We all have a lot to be proud of. And I want to thank the EFF again for this award. And I hope that by 2006, unverifiable, unauditable elections will be nothing but a bad memory. Thank you.